Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Vecima Networks second quarter fiscal year 2019 results conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call will begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the second quarter fiscal 2019 year results. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's second quarter fiscal year 2019 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at www.vecima.com under the Investors heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's unaudited, condensed interim consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 3 and 6 months ended December 31st, 2018. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities law. All statements other than the statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include but are not limited to statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs, and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and/or beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 27, 2018, a copy of which are available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in these earnings call are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such as assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. The second quarter of fiscal 2019 brought important progress for all three of Vecima's business segments. Our content delivery and storage segment achieved record results as we capitalized on the build-up to IPTV. In our video and broadband solutions segment, we significantly increased global activity and customer engagement with Entra and moved closer to field trials. And in our telematics division, we won an additional municipal fleet management contract while also achieving initial revenues for our new asset tracking product. I'll provide more detail on each of these achievements on today's call. Financially, I'm pleased to report that our top and bottom line results improved both year over year and quarter over quarter. Revenue increased to $22.7 million, adjusted EBITDA climbed to $5.5 million, and earnings improved to $2.1 million, or 9 cents per share. We also increased our gross profit margin to 57%, and we ended the quarter with a strong cash balance of $44.5 million. In keeping with our plans, our content delivery and storage segment was a key factor in these results as we benefited from strong order flow during the second quarter. Part of this reflects the timing of orders, Overall, though, it highlights the excellent traction we're experiencing across all of our MediaScaleX products. One of our Tier 1 MSO customers is currently expanding its on-demand video network and upgrading associated server hardware across its network at the same time. They're using our MediaScaleX cache technology and taking advantage of software feature enhancements we've provided in recent quarters. This is creating strong demand as our customer modernizes and increases the density of a network that serves millions of subscribers. It's also laying the groundwork for future opportunities. As part of this hardware update, our customer is running all of their on-demand video to an interactive set-top box with a back-end network that is the same as what they'll need if they upgrade to IPTV. So while they have not yet transitioned to primary IPTV, our technology has created the infrastructure to support that logical next move. As a result, Vecima is very well positioned to play a role as this customer ultimately makes the transition to IPTV. In a nutshell, this project is driving revenue now, and it could continue to well into the future. On the topic of IPTV, I want to add that we continue to experience growing demand from MSOs that are early movers in a large-scale transition to IPTV that will happen. Our portfolio now encompasses nine MSOs that are making the transition to IPTV video services using Vecima platforms. IPTV is a compelling investment because it enables operators to offer services like live linear broadcast, cloud DVR, streaming on demand, and time shift and look back TV. These are services consumers want and over time will increasingly demand. As such, IPTV represents a huge emerging opportunity, and I want to emphasize emerging because the majority of IPTV decisions for the larger group of worldwide potential customers are still in the future. But where IPTV decisions are being made, Vecima is at the forefront and winning. And that positions us to capitalize on the future growth we see in this market. Turning now to our video and broadband solutions segment, the second quarter brought further strides in development of our Entra products, which address the cable industry's evolution to DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access architecture. Our DAA nodes are progressing through lab trials with multiple MSOs, including a new European Tier 1 operator that began lab trials in the second quarter. We are also on track to commence field trials in calendar 2019. DAA represents a vast new market for us, and we're creating a powerful, differentiated solution to address it. You'll recall that in Q1, we unveiled a new product that enables operators to monitor and manage their remote PHY access nodes and gain excellent visibility into how the nodes are performing. We recently showcased this product at a major industry event, and it attracted significant interest from a wide range of operators. Meanwhile, our success in creating one of the most interoperable nodes is proving critically important as MSOs wrestle with operationalizing DAA at scale. These are two of the main issues slowing down the transition, and our focus on making our nodes and their management within the network as optimal and as plug-and-play as possible only enhances our position. So we're pleased with our progress and position relative to the overall industry transition. In other products in this segment, we achieved initial revenue from our legacy QAM adapter in Q2 as we began field trials with a significant customer. This is a product that provides video services on our customer's existing Edge QAM infrastructure within a DAA framework and obviates the need to rebuild the video network during the DAA transition. In our telematics segment, I'm pleased to report that we won a new contract for fleet management deployment with a second major Western Canadian municipality. This win follows on our recent contract award with the City of Victoria, which we announced in Q4. We also achieved initial revenues for our new Nero equipment tracking product. This is a GPS tracking beacon designed for smaller, movable assets. We just launched this product in Q1, and we're pleased to be generating some early sales. Overall, it was another busy quarter for Vecima, and we're encouraged by the progress we're making in all three of our business segments. At this time, I'll ask John to review our second quarter results with you in more detail. John?
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen the news release and financial statements for the fiscal 2019 second quarter, that are posted on Vesma's website. I will present the relevant numbers in discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. I'll start by reminding everyone that our results include the addition of the Concurrent business, which we brought on board at the end of our second quarter of fiscal 2018. As a result, all comparisons will reflect content delivery and storage numbers in the current quarter and not in the prior year quarter. Now turning to our Q2 results. Starting with consolidated sales, for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2018, we generated sales of $22.7 million. This was a 54% increase from the same quarter last year due to the contribution from content delivery and storage, and up 6% from $21.3 million in Q1 fiscal 2019. In the video and broadband solutions segment, we generated second quarter sales of $7.0 million, a 38% decrease from the $11.3 million in sales last quarter, and down 48% from $13.4 million in the same period last year. In our Terrace product family, sales were down 51% to $4.2 million, from $8.5 million in the same period of last year, reflecting the slower pace of purchasing activity for our Tier 1 MSO customer as they complete their all-digital conversion. Terrace QAM sales declined to $1.2 million, in line with our expectations, as our lead customer's requirement for new systems and upgrade kits nears saturation. Our content delivery and storage business was up 66% sequentially to $14.3 million from $8.6 million in Q1 fiscal 19. This rebound in the second quarter puts us right where we expected to be for the segment at the halfway point in the year. As we've said before, we continue to be confident in the long-term view of this segment, but reiterate that quarterly sales variances can be pronounced. Turning to our telematics segment, we saw a modest 3% increase to $1.40 million, up from $1.36 million both last quarter and in Q2 fiscal 2018. This quarter, we achieved a consolidated gross margin of 57%, providing a total gross profit of $12.8 million. This was up from 52% in Q2 of last year and up from 53% last quarter. The improvement from Q1 to Q2 is mainly a result of the shift in product and customer mix in content delivery and storage. The various components of operating expenses, namely R&D, sales and marketing, and G&A, were all higher in the current period compared to the prior year due to our Concurrent acquisition. Excluding content delivery and storage expenses, the notable changes year over year in Q2 operating expenses were as follows. R&D decreased to $2.9 million from $3.0 million, reflecting lower subcontracting costs and government assistance in the current quarter, offset by higher staffing and prototype costs. Sales and marketing expenses were flat at $1.1 million. Increased staffing costs and marketing expenses were offset by the reclassification of commissions and support costs to cost of goods sold under IFRS 15 in the fiscal 19 year. G&A decreased to $2.3 million from $2.5 million, due primarily to non-recurring acquisition costs in the prior year. Total OPEX in Q2 at $11.6 million came in lower than the $12.5 million in Q1. Q1 OPEX was elevated due to almost $800,000 in restructuring costs. I note that reported R&D expenses in a period are typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial development. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the second quarter increased to $7.8 million from $5.7 million a year ago. The difference year over year is directly related to the expenditures in content delivery and storage that we didn't have last year. Operating income increased to $1.3 million in Q2, up from $1.1 million in the same period last year, an improvement driven by contributions in both content delivery and telematics segments, offsetting the year-over-year decrease in the video and broadband segment. Net income from continuing operations was $2.1 million, or 9 cents per share, compared to net income of $1.3 million or 6 cents per share in Q2 fiscal 18. Net income in the current quarter was favorably impacted by a $1.6 million foreign exchange gain as compared to a $300,000 gain in the same period last year. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the quarter with $44.5 million in cash and short-term investments and working capital of $71.2 million. Finally, cash flow from operations, excluding non-cash working capital, was $5.1 million, an improvement from the $3.4 million recorded in the same period last year. Overall, we're very pleased with the continued positive outcomes from our concurrent acquisition, and the Q2 results were consistent with our expectations. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. Our outlook for fiscal 2019 remains unchanged from last quarter. In our video and broadband solutions segment, we expect to see a continuation of transition dynamics as the industry prepares for DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access architecture. While the timing of the volume phase still remains difficult to predict, we remain on track for field trials in calendar 2019. And we're continuing to invest in Entra as we further differentiate and enhance the advantages of our platform. In our content delivery and storage segment, our outlook remains very positive. As I discussed earlier, we're seeing a build-up to a wide IPTV market that can support services like TimeShift TV, streaming, and cloud DVR. Our MediaScale X products ideally suit this market, and we see a sizable pipeline of market opportunities in the US, Europe, Latin America, and Asia Pacific. Finally, in our telematics segment, we anticipate continued incremental growth in demand for our fleet tracking products in fiscal 2019. We'll also be pursuing the new opportunities in asset tracking. Across all of our product families, we're creating unique, must-have features that are advancing our competitive position. And we remain in an excellent position as the industry approaches two of the most significant market developments driving its future, getting to gigabit internet and moving to IP video with all of its powerful features. Our focus is going to remain on keeping Vecima's innovative solutions at the forefront as these lucrative markets mature. We're very excited about our future. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone indicating you're in the queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Once again, to join the question queue, please press star, then one. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from David Kwan of PI Financial.
Hi, guys.
Hey, David.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the good quarter. It looks like the concurrent business is doing quite nicely. Maybe we'll start there. I know you guys have talked about some of the deals, I guess, that slipped from Q1 into Q2, that helped boost the Q2 numbers a bit here. Can you quantify that how much actually did slip?
Can you repeat that? Sorry, we just had the volume a bit low here, David.
Yeah, I was just wondering, obviously a very good quarter on the content delivery and storage mm-hmm. side. Some of that you guys referenced was due to some deals that slipped from Q1. Can you quantify, how much of these deals did slip from Q1 that benefited Q2?
I think that it's going to be on the order of a couple of million. It's not that significant. If you look at the cadence we had and kind of the Q4 versus Q1, Q2, you can get a sense of how that lumpiness moved around between those three quarters.
Yeah. Okay. And just looking out, you assuming you've talked about kind of expecting some pretty strong growth driven in part by the migration to IPTV. When I look at what you guys have done, I guess over the last year, you've grown quite nicely versus kind of what the business was doing pre-acquisition. Can you talk about, in terms of that growth, are we expecting kind of solid double-digit growth?
So, yeah, I think overall, if we look at It's a bit difficult to get a direct prior year comparable with the kind of halfway in the fiscal year when they entered, when Vesma acquired, but kind of on a comparative basis with what fiscal 18 of the four quarters would have been on the content delivery between before Vesma and after Vesma, looking at fiscal 19 overall. And, you know, as John said, at the midpoint, we're perfectly on track. We're looking at, you know, that low double-digit growth as being a very, you know, positive target for us.
How about, like, say, over, you know, you've had it for a year now, you know, looking out the next 12 months or effectively, you know, calendar 19 over calendar 18, do you think kind of low double-digit growth rate is something that's achievable?
Very much so, and they've been on, you know, the segment's been on a quite consistent trend of about, you know, a low double-digit CAGR, and, you know, we anticipate that continuing. There's, you know, this opportunity pipeline around IPTV that's continuing to expand. The broadcast segment remains very promising for us as a further expansion there, too. So all of that, you know, consolidating together gives us a good amount of confidence in continuing that growth rate.
Perfect. Moving on to Entra, it seems like you guys are continuing to add more lab trials. Can you quantify, you know, how many you're involved with at this point?
So what we've been talking about for quite some time is our focus on some very important engagements at a set of tier ones, and we just added in the recent quarter, a new lab trial at yet a fourth major tier one operator in Europe. So those key accounts are very pertinent and important to us, and are, you know, we're making progress at the set of them widely. I would say the two of those are looking at calendar 19 as an important period for moving towards field trials. Two are still, you know, given their size and the importance of what this transition means in the network for the upcoming era, if you will, of broadband access, which is their core service, they're still moving broadly in looking at the specifications, and that's, you know, pushing out the timeline a bit. But so we have those four tier ones that are very important overall to the entire industry and especially to Vesma. Along with that, you know, another thing I want to highlight is that we've built a new integrated go-to-market team between what we've brought on board from the Concurrent teams and the Vesma teams, and that's created a lot of momentum for us in the wire sphere, and I view that as highly encouraging. So, you know, beyond those four tier ones, we're looking now at engagements with that encompass now over a dozen tier two operators in the Americas alone. So lab trials are underway at these customers in many cases, and we're pleased to be seeing all this progress at these operators beyond those big four. So that's become another important layer of our strategy in terms of going wider compared to those, you know, with this broadly applicable tier one product ecosystem that we've built. So we're seeing that strategy pay off. And, you know, for example, we've had one North American customer here that we've quickly passed through lab trials and moving into the field very soon. And we've done that in a period of you know, about three short months with that smaller MSO. So we're expecting similar results at this wider set. And, you know, very positive for us that those that are moving, you know, we're broadening our scope and getting momentum.
No, that's good. So are you saying that the one that you moved through quickly through the lab trials, was that one of the tier ones, or was that a smaller one?
Definitely a smaller one. And that's, you know, to be expected that you know, the smaller operators, given the scope of what they're doing, we can move relatively quickly. We have smaller touch points in terms of the org structure that we're engaging with, and, you know, very, very fast-paced things can happen in that segment of the market.
Okay, that's good to know. And how does FDX tie into all this? You know, does the tier one in Europe, are they kind of waiting for FDX similar to the guys in North America? And then in terms of your own solution, can you talk about kind of where you guys are? Have you got kind of the first silicon yet? and timelines from that you guys expect going forward?
Yeah, we're seeing, you know, a little bit of continued, I would say, frothiness in the FDX landscape. What we are seeing is an industry consensus is developing around, you know, they've started to move towards the 10G moniker and whatnot, and that's part and parcel of FDX. So we're seeing a lot of alignment that over the longer term, FDX is going to continue to be the future. It's, you know, across our set of Tier 1s and Tier 2s, there are a significant quantity of them that are kind of pragmatic about this and looking at calendar 19 and what's available with Gen 1 and anticipate, you know, forging ahead and looking at FDX as more evolutionary. There are, of course, some leading Tier 1 operators that are heavily invested in moving towards FDX, and we, along with that, are going to, you know, evolve our solution according to the timing that's at work there at those types of customers. So, you know, FDX remains a long-term industry consensus view of where distributed access is anticipated to go. But over the, you know, the inception of the market upcoming here, we believe that the rollouts are going to be pre-FDX in many ways for those that are happening. In terms of Vecima, you know, chips, as I've said, are this calendar year, it's important for FDX silicon to emerge. Some of that may happen in the short time frame going forward here, and we've been preparing our designs to the extent that we can. Now, again, I've said that a lot of the software in this multi-year effort of development we've done for our DAA node accrues to FDX. The added layer is, of course, in the echo cancellation. Some of that. The new you know, IP that the silicon is bringing that is going to enable these symmetrical gigabit speeds to happen, that's the incremental component. So we've moved our designs along. As the chips emerge, we'll start incorporating them, but we're going to be very customer focused in terms of our priority on that. And there, you know, there is features on Gen 1 that relate to opportunities that carry a certain amount of priority for us as well. So it's a bit fluid.
Okay. Thanks, Sumit. And can you talk about any the kind of the potential requalification process for FDX? Like, are there any of your tier ones in particular where, you know, you know, I think you mentioned in the past a couple of them that you've been kind of shortlisted in terms of your ability to parlay that into FDX or whether you're going to have to go and requalify. Can you provide any updates on that front?
So the way we tend to think about that in terms of the RFP and shortlisting type processes that go on in some of the bigger tier ones, our view is that, you know, in the case especially on one of those major tier one engagements where they're highly focused on FDX and where Vecima was shortlisted before, you know, it's true that we'll be entering potentially another re-up on the qual process. But our understanding is that, you know, the current set of vendors that were previously shortlisted are being viewed by those types of operators as the leads. So, you know, it's not as widely open as it once was in the first instance where we did get shortlisted, being, you know, one of four amongst the potential set of up to a dozen vendors. So, you know, we've gotten to that point. These operators have invested to this point in truest sense of the word, putting money behind these vendors and resources, qualifying them in labs, and that carries, you know, some momentum. So, you know, there may be RFP emergence for Gen 2 and FDX for their RFPs, but our positioning, you know, we think the shortlist enhances that significantly.
And I guess in terms of the timing, given that there's kind of really no products out there, probably won't see anything, I'm guessing, till the middle of the second half of this year when these RFPs might be coming out.
Yeah, it depends on the cadence of you know, planning at a given operator, in the sense that they're going to want to run more formal process sometime out from when they intend to deploy. So So, you know, we could see things sooner than that. But that mid-year, I think, is a good view in terms of when we might see a fresh set of formal RFPs, if you will.
And would you expect to have something that could get into lab trials in the second half of this year, so have something out available kind of by the middle of this year?
I think that's a stretch for the entire industry and all the vendors, given where the silicon is at today and the churn and some of the specifications that has gone on. I don't believe that anyone's going to be in a position to have FDX product into labs this calendar year.
Oh, so not even to the labs this calendar year. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. And you touched on this on the interoperability side. Obviously, you know, a big issue and concern amongst the vendors, or sorry, the Tier 1 MSOs. Can you talk about, I guess, you know, where specifically you are, you know, vis-a-vis some of the large CCAP vendors in particular, and that obviously are fairly big in the DAA space?
Yeah, I don't think we have quite perfect visibility into how, you know, vendor B may interop with vendor C, node to core. But what I can say, you know, our kind of node in terms of interoperability has tackled all the major players on the core side. And as I've said before, that's proving to be a key value to the customer set as they look at node selection, where they have this desire, of course, to not be close-ended on both the core and the node, and also have some selectivity or choice in terms of their node vendors. So you can imagine, you know, if first out of the gates is a core from a node from a single vendor, when they're looking at that second node selection, the widely interoperable and proven node gives us an advantage there.
Great. Last question, just on Terrace IQ, can you give any additional color on where things stand right now? I think last quarter you talked about, I think, two or three Tier 1 MSOs were looking at it and seemed to give indications that they were interested in rolling it out. You know, has anything changed from that standpoint?
I think, you know, as it normally goes, the timing is something that we're keeping in mind. It remains, you know, this evolutionary path that is anticipated by these two tier ones, that once, you know, they need to IPTV ready these commercial platforms as their back end network, of course, transitions to IPTV. So those two things go hand in hand. You know, I think that we have the current set of products. There are projects in the short term that may associate with the current set of products. That'll be important for us in terms of channel densification and MPEG-4 upgrades. But it remains the case that you know, Terrace IQ is a long-term anticipated rollout scenario with these two tier ones.
Do you expect that you could get stuff into the labs and potentially out commercially sometime this year?
I think that's going to hinge on where the customers anticipate that their needs are. We're seeing, like I said, some short-term project activity that may lend them to move at the current set of products. That'll be, of course, something that we are going to pursue. You know, and there's still a bit of fluctuation in requirement specifications in terms of the roadmap for Terrace IQ. So, you know, I think we could – it's possible that as things crisp in here, that we could end up with into labs this calendar year, but at this point our view is that's moving a bit longer term.
Okay, perfect. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. There are no more questions at this time. This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.